Hello and welcome to another episode of Over Under here at the Spodcasters. I'm Matt Tate, joined by Tom Keegan, and it's time to talk some more KU football and make some more predictions, which, Tom, got a little bit tougher based on KU's effort against Texas Tech. This isn't just easy anymore. These guys may have turned a corner. They may be on their way to legitimacy, and that may make these over-unders a little more difficult. Agree?
Well, no, I don't think so.
But
I think it's a good sign that they're learning, definitely.
I mean,
there's some good coaching going on there and stuff, but this conference is such a bear, and Kansas hasn't sniffed victory on the road for so long that that makes it tougher. So I don't think you can turn a corner in 1 week, but at least they turned to where they could see hope in the distance.
They can see the sign, the road sign that says a corner is approaching.
It says Hope, Arkansas.
Like 2 miles away.
Yeah.
Hope, Arkansas. Very good. Well, I think you would agree that if they do back last week's performance up with a good performance at Oklahoma State, then that's
hugely encouraging.
Possible corner material. Yeah?
Yeah.
Regardless of the rest of the schedule.
It'd help if they had a corner or two more.
Yeah, that would help a lot, especially in this conference for sure. All right, well, we're going to jump right into it. Oklahoma State's offense, pretty good. Their defense, really good, and that will be the theme of this week's over-under. Last week, kind of a down week for both of us. I actually picked up the lead, and I think it's my first lead since, like, last September. Feeling pretty good about it, honestly. I got tired of looking up.
Well, let's see if you've turned a corner or if you just lost your hunger.
Right, absolutely. But I got you 4-3 last week. That broke the tie, so it is 24-23 through 6 weeks. Week 7, here we go. Let's start it off with Oklahoma State total offense. We're going to put that KU defense on the spot right away and see what they're capable of. Will Oklahoma State's offense gain more or less than 475 yards this week? And it should be noted that last week our over-under for total offense for Tech was 600. So we've given them a 125-yard boost there, or maybe that's just Oklahoma State. But 475 is the number, over or under.
Well, I think they're going to have the ball a lot, the Cowboys, so I'm going to go over on that.
Yeah, I think, I mean, especially being on the road, and no matter how well KU plays or how much improved they are, that's not that much, really. I mean, they could put up 250, 300 and a half, and then you're going over by default. So I will go over as well. Let's narrow it down a little closer. One of the weaknesses, at least on paper, of this Oklahoma State offense is its rushing offense. I think they're averaging 137 yards a game, something like that. But KU gives up 250 yards a game rushing. So we will put the number for OSU's rushing offense at 150. Will you go over that or under that?
Well, I'm going to let you go first. Since
like
you're
it.
In the lead, you're going
like
to go
it.
First
there
today.
There you go. That's a really good call. I'm going to go over 150 just because, man, I think teams have run the ball all year against KU. Historically, or at least in the last 4 or 5 years, Oklahoma State has not been one of those teams. I think I read somewhere that in the last 100 carries or something like that, Oklahoma State has only averaged 2.8 yards per carry against Kansas defenses. That's a really impressive stat. Now, all those guys that were in those last 100 carries or trying to, you know, stop those last 100 carries, most of them are gone. So take that for what it's worth. But I'm going to go over just based on the first 6 games of this season.
Well, KU's allowing 250.7 a game. Oklahoma State only averages 137.5, but 137.5 is a lot closer to 150 than is 250. So I'm going to go with Oklahoma State
and go over. Very good. I think that would be, I'll tell you what, if we're wrong on that one, that's a really good sign for KU, and it could make it an interesting game, that's for sure. Let's flip it over. KU's rush offense. You know, DeAndre, man, got him going again a little bit last week. The other guys, Kenner, Cox, they really didn't have that good of a game, but KU did as a team because of, man, his 107 yards on 15 carries. He had a really good game. Of course, 41 of those on one carry, so what is that, 66 on 14 carries? It starts to look a little less impressive when you break it down that way, but hey.
Yeah, you don't break it down that
no,
way.
No, you don't, because he gets credit for that 41
yard. Yeah, breaking runs is something he does and something Kenner does, so when they do it, you count it.
It was a heck of a run, too. It was that first series, that first drive. KU really looked sharp there, and DeAndre ran so hard, and he was shifty. So anyway, KU's rush offense will put the number at 135 yards for the Kansas rushing attack. I'm going to go under that. I think this Oklahoma State defense is talented. I think they have a bunch of big bodies up front, and I think they're just going to make it a very interesting and potentially long day for KU. So even though that number's not that high, I'm going to go under. I'm suspecting you will too.
I'm going under. Yeah, it's that's a tough defense to block. I think they're going to have problems getting holes, and I think that they get to the backfield so quick, you're going to see some negative rushing.
Yeah, they have a lot of tackles for loss already. One guy with I don't know, six or seven of them already. It's something like three guys have six or seven, ridiculous like that. So, yeah, their defense is very stout. It'll be maybe the best defense KU will face the rest of the year. You think that's true?
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely agree with that.
All right, well, with that in mind, there may be opportunities for some field goals if KU's offense stalls on the right side of the 50, that is. But, man, you got to wonder if they're even going to attempt many field goals with that performance. Last week they missed three field goals and an extra point. That's 10 points in a game they lost by 10 points. So, yeah. I don't know. It doesn't seem to me like David Beatty's the kind of coach that will be gun-shy to send the field goal unit out there because of that. I think he's a guy that's very I don't know what the word is for it, strict or you know, I don't know. I think that he will play what he would play, no matter what the situation is. I don't think he'll think of last week or 2 weeks ago or anything like that. If that's a fourth down call, if that's a field goal attempt, I think he would elect to do whatever he would do, no matter if it was the first game he's ever coached or the last. So I don't know that that'll factor in, but you have to wonder. You definitely have to wonder. So we'll set the field goal over-under for KU field goals made, correct?
Correct.
At 1.5. And I'll be bold. I'm going to go under. I just think either they'll miss a couple more or they won't get any field goal opportunities, especially because the game might not be in a position where field goals are going to help much. So,
right.
So I'll go under. And I think that if they do attempt any, I think it's probably Matt Wyman's job. I don't know that this splitting kickers thing is happening anymore.
Yeah, I would be surprised to see Yoda get another shot out there, but you never know. It depends on how well Yoda or Wyman does.
That's a good point, yeah.
I guess because Oklahoma State's defense, the closer you get to the goal line, the better they are. It's going to be tough to get touchdowns, so I think they're be probably situations where KU will attempt field goals, and I'll say over.
Take some points. I mean, that's the thing you've seen with Beatty. Yeah.
Even if it's down, a zero up there, you want to get that zero.
Exactly right, yeah. Even down 28-0, there have been times where he said, hey, we need to kick a field goal here. And I know fans don't always love it, but you're right. That zero is ugly, very ugly. Three sometimes breaks the seal, and you never know what can happen from there, although you kind of do with this team. So, but points is points, and you got to take it when you can. That ties into the next category, Ryan Willis touchdown passes. He's looked really good in both of his games. Certainly more impressive in the second start than the first, which is definitely saying something because he looked pretty good there too. So Ryan Willis touchdown passes, over or under 1.5. I'm going to go over. I think he's going to throw the ball a bunch again. I mean, I think they'll try to establish the run, but they tried to do that last week, and he still threw it 50 times. So
right.
I don't think there'll be any shortage of opportunity for him. And he's not afraid to stretch the field, take shots down the field. I think he's got guys that'll get open, and I think I could easily see him throwing two. More than that would probably be a heck of a day, but 1.5's a great number for that. I'll go over 1.5.
I'm going to go under. Ryan Willis, no true freshman has ever seen a pass rush like what Ryan Willis is going to see. Yeah. They've got two defensive ends who just fly from the edge, and then big guys in the middle pushing the pocket. They're very, very solid on defense. Two touchdown passes for a true freshman against that defense. I don't know. I'm going to go under.
It'd be impressive if he does. Yeah, if he does, it's more good news in the quarterback front for KU if that's the case. You were just talking about that pass rush that he's going to face, and that ties perfectly into the next one. This list is laying out very well. It's like segue, 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 segue. I don't know if we did that on purpose or not. I don't think we did. Maybe just that impressive. But let's move on. Emmanuel Ogba. I think that's how you pronounce it. He's fifth in the nation in sacks per game. He leads the Big 12 in sacks per game. He is, by all accounts, their guy, their beast. Mel Kiper Jr. calling him one of the best defensive end prospects in the country, a first-round grade already. Very, very impressive dude. Very physical, very fast, very athletic. So how many sacks does he get? The number is 1.5. We're going over or under 1.5 sacks for Mr. Ogbah, and I got to go over just because I think he's that good. He's averaging right around that per game. I think the Kansas offensive line is probably going to do all it can to stop him, but I don't know that they'll be able to do much. I wouldn't be surprised if he had a huge game in this one.
I think he has 7.5 sacks so far, but this line is not as good as most of the lines you're going to face
right
in the Big 12, so I'm going to go over as well.
Yeah, this reeks of a game that he could get to double digits. Not in the game, but from 7.5.
Yeah.
Come out of the game at 10, 10.5, and you know, be well on his way to a monster season. So, he'll be fun to watch no matter what the outcome of the game is. It's always fun to watch guys like that. You know, you even during this stretch of futility for KU football, I've been actually recently reading some previous game stories that I've written about bad losses. I did that for that blog I posted, and it was kind of fun to read through them and see some of these names of guys we've covered.
Yeah.
You know, that maybe even on the day of the game, you might not have known he was going to be a stud, and now he is, or whatever the case is. That's always fun to do. And even watching KU football, even covering KU football, this league is so freaking talented that you get to see incredible athletes, incredible players week in and week out. It's definitely a cool part of the job. So KU turnovers, they've been okay in this department. Not great, yeah. Not bad, but okay. And this kind of comes back to that defense of Oklahoma State that you've been talking about, and just the pass rush, the tenacity up front, and just their overall defensive unit. Over under 2 for KU turnovers in this one. I'm going to go over 2. I think that this has the, you know, throw a pick or two, knock a ball out or two, probably some sack fumble type stuff will be involved here, especially with Willis being so young and everything just being new for him, adjusting to these rushes and these you know, schemes that guys are going to throw at him. Because you mentioned this before his first start. Why wouldn't you just do everything in your power if you're the opposing defense to confuse the heck out of him? He's a freshman.
And to fly at him, but Rob Likens done a nice job of throwing to spots where blitzers vacate.
Great point.
Blitz, so.
And he does get it out quickly. I
yeah,
mean, the ball,
quick,
the ball comes out fast.
The quick offense keeps him from really teeing off. I'm going to go over a lot of the same reasons you said. When you're dealing with a team that just puts so much pressure on you, plus the likelihood that Kansas will be playing a lot of this game from far behind.
Sure.
Just contributes to the turnover machine.
Yeah, it just has the feel of one of those that's just the wave just keeps coming at you,
yeah.
Coming at you. It might be sacks for a while. It might be tackles for loss for a while. Eventually, the ball's going to come out. You're just going to get tired of seeing that wave
right.
of orange shirts coming at you. So, I think over is smart by both of us, but with it not being a half, it could easily be a push as well.
Man, yeah.
Exciting. This is exciting stuff. All right, the halftime deficit. We'll just call it, I guess, the deficit for KU at halftime. I mean, they're 30-point underdogs. I think it's safe to say they probably will be down at halftime. And
is
if they're
it down
not,
to 30 now? Because it opened at 35.
Yeah, it's somewhere in 32, 33 range. You know, I don't think it's all the way down to 30, but it's definitely a huge number. And
most of those happen in the first half because then the teams take the foot off the gas like Baylor did.
Sure, sure. Absolutely right. So we'll for halftime margin here, we'll assume KU is down, and I guess it will work either way. But what will the halftime margin be? Will it be over halftime deficit? Over or under 21.5 points? Will KU be down by less than that or more than that? This is the hardest one on the board, I think. Because I think if they've turned any kind of corner, you'll see it in the first half. That's when you'll see it. And then I think Oklahoma State will outlast them and just wear on them and maybe pull away late and just create a pretty impressive spread. But if KU hasn't turned any kind of a quarter, you could be looking at another 28-0
yeah.
first quarter.
I'll go first if you
I'm still thinking.
I'm going under here. I just have a little bit of faith that maybe they have gotten a little bit better. And they can keep it to 3 touchdowns would be 21 or 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, right,
the
right.
Margin.
Yeah, something like 27-10 at halftime would be they'd be sort of in the game.
Yeah.
That would sound good, and it would certainly be under. I'm going to go over, and I'm just going to I'm just going to go with the road streak. I mean, they've been so bad
on the road. They say never bet against a road, or I mean against a streak.
Yeah, exactly right. So, I mean, it's got to be 24. It's got to be something like 24-0 or 28-3 for me to be right. Yeah, I might reconsider that. But I already committed. I'll go over. I've been down there too many times and seen Oklahoma State just roll. Yeah, especially first quarter, second quarter. When they get going, they're really hard to stop at home. So I will go over 21.5. You will go under. So if KU's winning, right, you're on fire. You've got all you need. And we won't even have to do the math then. Joe Dineen, monster game last week with Ben Heaney on the sideline. Sort of the
motivating him.
Yeah, the heir apparent in a little bit of a sense. I mean, you know, linebackers, local boys, if you will, sort of. Kansas kids, anyway. So, really good game by Dineen, who really for the last three or four games has just continued to show solid progress, a better understanding of the position, better instincts, better aggression, all those things. Agree? Yeah,
definitely. And he looks faster because he's not thinking, he's playing.
Totally right. And you know, not afraid to hit, physical kid, all that stuff. He's really turning into a nice player and probably going to have a really good couple of years as a junior and senior. So he had, 10 tackles last week, I think. Really big game with Heaney there. That's a lot to ask. He's not been Heaney yet, so a lot to ask to put the number that high. But this number is really good as well. 6.5 tackles for Joe Dineen this week. You know, if he has 7, 8, 9, he's obviously over, and that's another really good day. If he has 6 or 5, it's under, and it's still a pretty good day.
Right. I'm going to go under here.
Under?
Yep.
I like it. What's the reason?
Oklahoma State's just so, you know, so much bigger on the line than Kansas is.
Yeah.
I just think the front seven will have a tough time.
Fair enough. I'll go over just because I love the kid's heart. I just think he plays so hard. And, you know, he's really, in a lot of ways, become a spokesman for this team. He's one of the guys.
He's a sharp guy.
Yeah, he's one of the guys we love interviewing. Even though he's only a sophomore, he's playing a pretty big role, a pretty important position, and all that. So it's a lot of fun talking to him. You can just tell what it means to him. And I think he's, like I said, a spokesman. I think the rest of the guys believe and feel the same way he's able to articulate when he's talking to us. And, you know, part of that's from him being interviewed as a Free State kid throughout all those years at Free State.
That's true. He
got good at it, you know, and it's that's awesome.
That's why so many broadcasters through the years have been from USC, because I don't know what their policy is now, but it always used to be very open media policy, and those kids became very comfortable doing interviews, and they eventually worked on the opposite side of interviews.
That's crazy, yeah. So you're talking like Matt Leinart, those types of guys that do broadcasting.
Even before that. Okay. Yeah, but I'm sure Leinart, too, is another example. Yeah, yeah. So.
Who else? I mean,
well, back in the day, you'd have, like O.J. Mayo, you had great access to football, basketball, every sport.
Sure.
You know, Mark McGuire or...
sure.
Every sport they've always been. Yeah, Marcus Allen.
There you go. Yeah, that's a really good one,
I mean,
too.
That's a guy who'd be able to do it no matter what, because he's just a sharp, confident, sharp guy.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, good stuff. All right, last category today for over-under. Another...
Clint Swan. Go ahead.
Yeah? Yeah. USC? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Good player. Good broadcaster. Better player or broadcaster?
Player. He was an amazing
receiver. I would agree. Yeah. Really good.
Stallworth.
With
the Steelers.
Yeah, really good broadcaster, though.
Yeah,
really, definitely. He really was. I mean, guy that took it serious and really tried to work on that craft once he was done playing. I like that guy a lot. All right, back to this. Last category. Another KU defensive player who has really had a good start to his senior season, Ben Goodman. I think that he's been really good. He's really led the charge for this defense and been a leader.
And he's in great shape. I mean, you saw him come into the season just looking like he was just ready to have a big senior year, and he has been playing well.
Totally agree. He looks, I mean, he doesn't ever look like he gets tired. He's in that kind of shape where he just will keep coming and keep coming and keep coming. I like watching him play. I like what he's done. Tackles for loss is a big stat for any defensive lineman, any defensive player, really. And you know, that doesn't just mean sacks. So we'll put the line at 1.5 for tackles for loss, TFLs as they call them, for Ben Goodman this week. I'll go over. I think he has a good game. I think that running game is somewhere where he could maybe meet somebody in the backfield a time or two and maybe get one sack and go over. It's not incredibly difficult to ask, although if you have two in a game, it's a pretty good game. But yeah. But I'm going to go over, and that's just based on my respect for Ben Goodman as a player. He's really playing well.
Yes, he is. I'm going to go under. It's a road game. Big offensive line.
Yeah, sort of the same things, you know, coming up, right? Road game, big Oklahoma State team on both sides. Yeah, yeah. I think KU's got its hands full. There's no question about it. But that's what makes this week's matchup so exciting, because regardless, the outcome is probably not in doubt. Everybody probably knows who's going to win this game. But there's still enough there. There's still Ryan Willis to watch. There's still the defense that seems to be improving. How much do they take another step forward, or do they at all? I mean, there's just a lot of things about this game that for an 0-6 team against a 6-0 team, you wouldn't expect to be this intriguing. And maybe on the Oklahoma State side, it's not. But at least on this side, it's pretty cool. So.
Well, if it's not at all intriguing on the Oklahoma State side, then that gives Kansas a shot.
No doubt.
Still a Division I team, and you can't overlook any Division I team.
That might have been what Texas Tech did a little bit, especially huge halftime lead, kind of coasting, nothing really happening, and then the next thing they know, they're in a dogfight.
Yeah.
I mean, that was legitimately a dogfight. You know, KU had the ball down 3 with 5 minutes to go.
Yep.
They marched the field, they win the game. I mean, that was...
Maybe even a gladiator battle.
Yeah. Maybe. Not a dogfight.
Well, maybe graduated to a gladiator.
Gladiators out there battling, no
Definitely
doubt.
Definitely wasn't a cat fight.
No, that's for sure. Absolutely right. All right, well, 24-23 is the lead that I currently hold. I don't know how long that's going to last. I'm not holding my breath, though. This week we had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different, so it feels like something's going to happen. Something big. Not a KU upset, but something big in over-under.
Yeah. See, by you going first,
yeah,
seems like we have more differences.
It changed things. It did. Yeah. And it's the right thing to do. I shouldn't always get to play off of you.
No, whoever's the leader really should.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
Go first.
I love it. All right, well, that's all the time we have for Over Under, another episode of the Spotcasters. Thanks for checking it out, and be sure to check out all of our coverage from Stillwater this weekend for KU Oklahoma State, 2:30 Saturday at Boone Pickens Stadium. Thanks for checking out this episode of the Spotcasters.